Big thanks to the Youth Rush team. Well, thank you so much for lifting up our hearts. I'm just going to leave the mic off. I'm not be moving around much today. We have a short message as we move into our communion service and a celebration of the Lord's Supper. First, I want to thank the deaconesses and all the deacons who have helped prepare our service today. We thank you so much for your service to God, and he appreciates you being a part of remembering all that he has done for us, all that he is doing for us, and all that he has promised to do. So let's have a word of prayer this morning before we begin. Father, thank you so much for Jesus, and thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity to partake of these precious emblems today. I pray, Lord, that you'll just be with us as we contemplate a brief thought this morning. May our hearts be lifted up. May our hearts be prepared to be in your presence, Lord, and to receive the blessing you want us to receive is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to be opening my Bible. I have my scriptures here in my notes, so I'm not going to take much time to turn to our scriptures, but you can write them down, certainly, as we go through them. But I just wanted to briefly mention the three things that I see we should be doing as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper. Three things. The first is looking back. The second is looking forward, and the third is looking within. So what are we looking back to prepare our hearts for partaking of the Lord's Supper? Well, it's none other than looking back to the cross of Calvary. First thing, we must look back to the cross of Calvary. What was accomplished at the cross of Calvary that we must ever remember, especially when we partake of the communion service? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. For God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross is where the intense love of God for us is revealed. There's no other place where you can look where there is not a more vivid picture of the depth, the width, the height, and the breadth of the love of God for fallen humanity. And I believe in this verse, it really captures it when Paul says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. What else happened at the cross of Calvary as we look back? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. At the cross of Calvary, Jesus bore the iniquity, carried the sin, bore the guilt, woe, and condemnation from every child of Adam to every person who should live till the close of probation when Jesus comes back. Jesus bore that guilt. Every murderer, every drunkard, everyone who willfully committed a wrong act and hurt their fellow man, everyone, including us, who unwillingly falls short of the grace and glory of God, fall short of his great and eternal law of love, Christ bore that guilt on the cross of Calvary so that we might stand guiltless before a holy God, that we might stand shameless before a God who is pure through and through. What else happened at the cross of Calvary to which we must look back? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The wages of sin is death. But at the cross of Calvary, eternal life was made possible by the blood he shed for you and the blood he shed for me. At the cross of Calvary, the door to eternal life was swung wide open. Are you thankful for the cross of Calvary today? How could we not fall in utter gratitude to the service of God and just fall in utter love with him as we behold the significance of the cross of Calvary, to which this morning we have only touched a pinhole in that tapestry, that veil that stands between us and the glories of heaven. Number two, communion is about looking forward to the second coming of Christ. How many of you are anxious for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ? Raise your hands. Amen. You should be looking forward to that, despite the troubles and woes that lie in the path before we shall see our Lord come in glory. We all should wait with expectant hearts, with hopeful hearts, because God is faithful to his promise. Communion is about looking forward to the second coming of Christ. So how does communion point to the second coming of our Lord? The first coming, our Lord came as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief and despair. The second coming, Christ will come back not the same, but shall come King of kings and Lord of lords. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 and 29. Jesus told his disciples, "For this is my blood, the blood of the covenant that is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." How precious it was of our Lord to refrain from that communion service as a pledge of his second coming, of his pledge and guarantee that he would have a place for us and that one day we would partake with him of the fruit of the vine. How precious our Lord and Savior is. Communion points to the second coming of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Paul says, "In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Proclaiming the Lord's death is much more comprehensive than proclaiming the cessation of the life of the Savior. That moment when all that was hoped to have been accomplished was accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Proclaiming the Lord's death is far more comprehensive than that. When after that darkness of cloud and separation between Christ and his Father, he said, "Lord, into your hands I commend your spirit." Proclaiming the Lord's death is far more comprehensive than that. To proclaim the Lord's death is to proclaim what Jesus accomplished on Calvary as a result of his death. And that hope is to give us hope and peace in this life. For Jesus said that we might have life and to have it more abundantly. To proclaim the Lord's death is to proclaim everything that Christ accomplished at Calvary. Not just an open door for the invitation for our sins to be as white as scarlet and for those that are as crimson to be as wool, but for a pledge to redeem us both now in this lifetime and forevermore. To proclaim the Lord's death is to proclaim far more than the death of an ever-loving Savior. It is to proclaim all that God intended through the death of his Son to accomplish for us. And number three, and perhaps the most important component of being prepared for communion service, is about looking not behind, not forward, but within. I believe it's here where we find the most important component of the communion service. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 to 29. Paul writes, "For this reason, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. A person should examine himself first, and in this way let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For one who eats and drinks without careful regard for the body eats and drinks judgment against himself." The sacredness of the communion emblems can never be overstated. A man came home one time and found his wife frantically going through the kitchen sink. She had lost one of the diamonds that was in her engagement ring in the kitchen sink. And his wife was never known to cry very much at all, but she was sobbing quite profusely. And he took notice and asked her what she was doing, and she explained. And his first thought was, it's really no big deal. We didn't spend a lot of money on that ring anyway. And then he voiced that, and she insisted of sobbing more, and she said, no, you don't understand. It's not the diamond. It's what the diamond represents. It represents the covenant we have made together with each other. It represents my life given for you and your life given for me. The sacredness of the communion emblems can never be overstated, because that really is what it is. It's what they represent. And the communion represents the pledge that God has given for our lives, for better, or even for worse, as we found at Calvary. God is committed to the sacredness of our covenant with him, just as a man and woman should be committed to the sacredness of the marriage covenant to each other. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, looking within. You should have the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave, by looking like other men, and by sharing in human nature. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The truth is that the only attitude that God accepts is an attitude of gratitude. God isn't so much interested in everything we have gotten right, but God is interested in a humble heart, recognizing that there are so many things that we fall short of. But even more than that, God is interested in an attitude of gratitude and humility that we have with each other. That is what is most prized in heaven's eyes, is our willingness to be servants of one another through love. For that is what Christ has done for us. John chapter 13, verse 12 to 15. So when Jesus had washed their feet and put his outer clothing back on, he took his place at the table again and said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and do so correctly, for that is what I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. You should do just as I have done to you." Serving one another in love is the standard by which our hearts are judged at the communion table. Doesn't mean that there's not issues between us. What is most important in heaven's eyes is, are we willing to extend love beyond offense and bear or eat with each other in the love of Christ, emulating the attitude that Jesus had toward those disciples in the upper room who all they were doing was bickering and fighting over who would be first in the kingdom of heaven. And yet Lord of kingdom and heaven, of the kingdom of heaven, stoops down and washes their feet, saying that he had set an example for them. Really, anything less is unacceptable in heaven's eyes, because love is the standard by which we are judged. And if we're willing to have humble hearts, if we recognize what God has done for us at Calvary in gratitude, and if we look forward with expectancy to his second coming, then we certainly are prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper. This is no depressing Sabbath. The Lord's Supper is a high Sabbath. It's a time of joyful praise and thanksgiving for everything that God has done, and for those of us who have humbled ourselves, recognized in that the joy of serving one another, even the joy of giving up something that one other may have. That is the joy that God is looking for. And it's also a time of testimony and thanksgiving, which we'll have a few later on as we prepare to pass out those emblems. With these three perspectives in mind and in our hearts, we are prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper, because it's scriptural and it's a privilege. Those of you who have prepared your hearts Those of you who are guests and visitors, maybe not from our denomination, we do practice open communion here, so if you are a person of Christian faith, it doesn't matter from what denomination you are from, we invite you to share in the Lord's Supper, as we have all been purchased by the blood of Calvary. And those of you who are members, we do encourage those who are perhaps struggling in their Christian experience and ability to get along with one another, take the opportunity to serve, to follow the example of Christ, and to experience the blessing that it comes from humbling ourselves before him. For it's the example that Christ gave us. As we divide for our foot washing service, we always have the men right out here in the youth chapel. At the far end of our social hall, that's where the women gather. And then in the middle of our social hall is where the families gather. So that is what we will do at this time. When you come back in, we would invite you to sit every other row so that it makes it easy for the deacons to pass out the emblems. And if you could leave the front row vacant, that would also help as well. May the Lord bless you as you share in the Lord's attitude toward us. A blessing it is to see so many stay behind for the communion service. Heaven is well pleased as it sees its followers, the followers of Christ, remembering all that he's done for us. This is a very special time. We want to have some testimonies. We'll be doing that in a moment here. But just give it just a couple more seconds, make sure there's a few others still coming in. Thank you also for leaving the front pews available for the deacons. I'm going to begin with a brief word of prayer, and then we'll enter into our communion service. Father, thank you once again to see so many faces. Lord, just a glimpse of the multitude, the great multitude that we shall observe in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we know that millions and millions and millions of people have given their lives to Jesus throughout the centuries, and we're so thankful to know that heaven will be well populated. Please enter our hearts now as we partake of the emblems of our Lord and Savior. May it fill our hearts anew with fresh vigor, fresh assurance, and a greater desire to save to the uttermost through the help of our Lord Jesus Christ, to lead them to the foot of Calvary. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are about to partake in the example that you set forth for us to follow. We are about to share the bread, which you said is your body. Do we understand that? Do we understand the sacrifice that you made and how this is a reminder of that sacrifice, how you paid the price for all of our sins, how you took it upon yourself to go up that hill of Calvary. Father, bless this and bless each person as they partake in this, your holy service. Help them to remember. Help them to think upon you, Lord, and to think what you have done for each one of us. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, help us to remember. Help us to remember everything that Christ did for us as he hung on that cross, as his blood was flowing red. Lord, sin makes us ugly. It colors us ugly. But Christ's blood flowing covers us, and his righteousness makes us white and makes us pure. We thank you with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Everybody loves testimonies. And we want to have another testimony service sometime in the near future where all we hear is testimones. We want to begin our testimony time right now by inviting Joel Moutre. He is one of our Youth Rush leaders up front. And he is going to do kind of a little interview format with some of his team members. We're going to hear some great testimonies. Joel, take my mic.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. I want to invite the people that I asked to help share testimonies up front. My name is Joel, as mentioned, and we have the high privilege of staying here at your church for the last 2 weeks and 3 weeks and the next couple weeks as well. And we thank you so much for that privilege to be here and witness in your community. We just want to share a few testimonies of what God has done in us and through us this last week. And my friend Henry has his first testimony.
Hi, so I'm Henry and I'm from San Francisco, but 2 days ago, I met this Catholic Hispanic man named Jesus, and he kept insisting that he had no money, but eventually he went back into his house and he pulled out this lotto ticket, and he had scratched it out and it was worth $20. So my leader, Joel here, he went to go exchange it at a local gas station, and when he came back, I was able to leave him with a great controversy and the Christ object lessons in Spanish. And little did he know that he had just won the spiritual jackpot, which is, you know, everlasting love and the everlasting life in Jesus Christ. And afterwards, he even signed up for personal Bible studies, and he wanted his entire family to be there so they can all learn about Jesus' love.
Isn't that powerful? Everlasting jackpot right there. That was a good investment, right? Turned out good for him. Next one is my friend, and she's going to share briefly as well. You were going door to door. By the way, what's your name?
Valerie,
and you're from San Jose, and you're going door to door just 2 days ago, and you met somebody at the door, and that experience, and you were praying for a divine appointment, a divine encounter. Did you have it, and if so, what happened?
Yes, God answered my prayer, and I was able to meet a young woman who was very hungry for the truth, and she got a great controversy and a DVD about Bible prophecy.
Praise the Lord. Amen. She prayed, and then God answered her prayer, meeting somebody who is hungry for the truth. Now, you told me there was a little bit more to the story. It just didn't start right there at that encounter. 2 years before, something happened to this young girl. What happened?
So 2 years before, a co-porter actually came to her house, and she got some of the books. And the books were such a blessing to her life that she started becoming like an evangelist herself and was giving the books to her cousins, her friends, anyone who ever, like, she just wanted to bless them with that book.
Amen. Did you guys hear that right there? When people get the books, many times they actually read them and they're sharing them with other people. Amen? And what else were you able to do?
Oh, yeah. And then she was able to sign up for personal Bible studies.
Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Next is my friend Will John. You're from Northern California. And you met somebody who is really ripe for the picking, who is right there ready to give their lives to Jesus. What happened?
She wasn't interested at first. What are you gonna? Okay, so she wasn't interested at first, and she said she had no money, she had no time because she was busy, but then she decided to give me a small donation. So when she was going into her house to get her small donation, I heard something very familiar. It was Seventh-day Adventist television, and so when she came back, I was like, "What are you watching?" And she said she's watching Seventh-day Adventist television, and she was actually interested in joining the church. She had been praying to God to lead her if she should join us or not. And I came that day. So I told her, okay, she said she couldn't afford the books, but she decided to sign up for Bible studies, revelation seminars, and cooking schools. But after we kept on talking, after we kept on discussing, she decided to give her last $20 for a great controversy and a DVD on prophecy.
Amen. Yeah. Powerful. God is using all kinds of different mediums to reach people in the community. And these people sign up for Bible studies. We'll do one last one before we go. This is...
Hi, I'm Delia, and I'm from Fresno, California.
Awesome. And you were going door to door the other day, and what happened?
Well, I presented the books to this man that I had met, but he had rejected us very harshly.
And by the way, when you witness for Jesus, there will be some rejections. Even Jesus was rejected. So what did you do, though? You let that kind of roll off your back, and what did you do?
After that, I was going to leave already, but I gave him a glow track.
Does anybody here know what a glow track is, right? I know that we know what those are. These little guys right here, when people don't answer the door or when they're not interested, we still give them something. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so you gave them a glow tract. You just kept on going down the street, didn't really think more about it. And what, 5 minutes later, something very special happened.
5 minutes later, he came and chased us down, and he told us sorry for the way he had treated us, and he decided to get the whole entire set of books for him and his family.
Wait, so the gentleman that rejected you runs down the street, chases you down, and says, I'm sorry, and I want to buy all your books. That's over $100 in donations with books. That's like The Great Controversy, Steps to Christ, Christ Object Lessons, health books, DVDs on prophecy, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And at this point, you're probably just like, wait, hold on, what was the change? Like, what's this night and day experience all about? What did he tell you?
Well, afterwards, he told us, he said that he had read the glow track after we left, and he said that he read the section where it said to put God first, and that's what made him change his heart.
Wait, so he rejected you, you gave him a glow track. As you left, he decided, you know what, I'm going to read this. He realized that, you know what, I need to be putting God first. Chases you down, gets all the books for over $100, and what else were you able to do with them?
Afterwards, he got all the books for him and his family, and we had a special prayer for him and his family, and especially his daughter, because they want her to follow in Christ's footsteps.
Amen. Can I hear you say amen? I just want to thank you so much for letting us stay here at the church. I know the AC and the electricity and the water for the showers is a huge blessing for us. And know that not only are you, your investment in us as young people is going to help the community be reached for Jesus Christ, but these young people are changed. My life was changed through this program. So thank you for investment in the future of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you.
Looks like our deacons are ready, so invite them forward. It is our prayer that everyone has been served. If you have not, please raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, we will make sure you get the emblems at this time. In the meantime, do we have one, maybe two testimonies? Keep your hands up, please, so the deacons know where they're going. Anybody have a testimony they'd like to share? We need to keep it brief. The prayers for many things are already in our hearts. So this is a praise report, something you are just so thankful for, something God has done. Wayne Spence shall be our first.
I'll start. I'm praising the Lord for my trip to Arkansas. I took a motorcycle trip. It's 3,500 miles by the time I got home. I took it to heal after losing Cheryl 2 years ago. And the Lord took me to places that Cheryl and I enjoyed very much together. And it allowed me to heal quite a bit. After losing her. And so I praise God for that trip, being safe.
Thank you, Wayne. Benjamin?
Hi, everybody. I just want to take this time to really just praise God and thank him for today is a really special communion day for me personally. You know, God throws some curveballs in your lives. Everybody, I'm sure, can relate to that, but amen. Over the last couple of months, God has placed his healing hand on me, and I no longer have a terminal illness that I used to have. And I take today as my rededication to Jesus Christ and my rebaptism and communion. And I just want to thank him for never giving up on me. And I want to thank you, young people, for inspiring me for what you're doing as well. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Ben. George will be our last testimony. Praise God for you, George.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm George F. Stowe III. All my friends call me Chocolate Chip. I want to give God great praise for this. I told him I would tell everyone that I meet, everyone I come in contact, I would tell them about the goodness of the Lord. After serving our country, I fell into some hard times. And can everybody hear me? Okay, after serving my country honorably with distinction, I fell into some hard times that I found myself homeless. Most of our veterans do find themselves after transitioning out of the military life back into the civilian sector, they find themselves in between a rock and a hard place. To make it brief, I slept in abandoned cars, bushes. Everywhere I could lay my head, I found myself sleeping there. But at that point in my life, I still held on to the Word of God. I never let go. You know, people say, well, how you doing? I'm hanging in there because it's a long way down. So, but as I was homeless at night, I was a student during the day. So I was a student during the day and a homeless crime fighter at night. and I did not let go to the Word of God. So, long story short, not only did I pass my classes, the Lord blessed me to get straight A's by doing that. Everywhere there was light, I studied. Sometimes I stayed in a laundromat, sometimes I stayed in Starbucks, and I definitely stayed in the reading center and the writing center. So not only did I pass my classes, I made the president's list. And then I got 3 degrees, and then valedictorian, and then the Lord blessed me thereafter with a full scholarship ride to Hawaii. So I'm on my way to do my master's in Hawaii, but I'm just here to say, no matter what, the Word of God is true. You put Him first, and He'll take you to the top.
Amen. Thank you, George, and we praise God for you and your precious wife, Felicia. Here's a chocolate chip that doesn't get all mushy under the heat. So we praise God for testimonies such as yours. We appreciate you both very much. Everybody have an emblem. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I do consider us friends, George. Amen. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, repeating the words of Paul as he wrote to the churches. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Praise his holy name. And he finishes by saying, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And the Lord is coming back soon. Amen to that, church.
Amen.
Goodness, you look at our world and what is going on just on the other side of the hill, and what's going on in Europe, and all we can say is praise God, he is coming back again. May that be the sweet Savior in your heart this day as you go out. May your Sabbath be blessed, and may you visit those who perhaps do not have the opportunity to come and share with them the love of Jesus and the significance of what the cross of Calvary means to you. God bless every one of you.